Goeiemôre. Ek wou my Britney Spears aangesit het, maar shit, ek en daai dingetjie is nie goeie vriende nie. Ek het gedink miskien moet ek 'n tape, soos as jy die ouens in die rugby game, né, ons het in die skram sak. Miskien moet ek net soos tape om my kop aan, sodat dalk bietjie beter vassit. Maar hy wil nie vanoggend saamwerk nie, so ek gaan minder handgebare kan gebruik. Want ek moet die muis in die ander hand vashou. Want hierdie is my ding wat my optrek moet hou. Die Here is amazing. Amen. Ek het vanoggend net besef, ja, hy het al klaar begin praat met ons. Ek het van niemand gesê waar of, ja, niemand weet waaroor ek gaan preek nie, of wat op my hart is nie. En hy het al 'n paar goeders net in lyn met dit kom sê. En dit het my so encourage dat die Here is die een wat ons lei. Hy is die een wat nou besig is om iets te sê en hy confirm dit op verskillende maniere. So dit was vir my geweldig encouraging. So ek gaan probeer om selfs dit wat gebeur het vanoggend al reeds net in te trek met wat ek voorberei het. En ek het nie geweet wat se liedjies byvoorbeeld gesing gaan word, wat se worship liedjies ons gaan sing nie. En uit daai worship liedjies het die Heilige Gees reeds goed in ons harte kom vasmaak rondom hom en ook iets kom stir, 'n behoefte, begeerte oor iets wat hy wil doen in ons lewens wat ons nie eens geweet het ons het nie. En ek wil saam met Pieter stem oor my swarrie sakkie. Hy is regtig my swarrie. Ek noem hom swarrie, so partykeer noem ander mense hom ook swarrie, maar ek is al een wat regte het op swarrie. Hy is my swarrie en hy is die weerde, hy is net wonderful. Amen. En hy stir ons op, want die Here sê we will overcome by the blood of the lamb and the word of our testimony. So dit maak geloof los in ons midde wanneer sulke tipe goed geshare word. Uit sy testimony is een van die goed of 'n paar goed eintlik. Wat ek ook wil sê wat die Here reeds deur Isak gesê het. So ek het eintlik gesê 5 minute vir Pieter, want anders te sê hy alles wat ek wil sê. En dan kan ek net so half 'n mic drop doen of iets soos dit en uitloop. Maar ek wil graag ook ietsie sê. So nee, ek is baie dankbaar vir die Here. Hy praat met ons, hy lei ons. He's the good shepherd and he leads us. Al is ons nie altyd bewus nie presies waarheen ons gaan nie. Ons hoef net agter hom aan te loop. Amen. Alright, so sal ek vir ons bid. So Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day. That this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will be glad and we will rejoice in this day. Father, thank you for this time and this opportunity for gathering together, Lord, with brothers and sisters in your house and meeting, Lord, and experiencing your manifest presence, Lord. Thank you that you are here with us and thank you that you are speaking to us and that you are leading us, Lord, in seasons that is easy, in seasons that is more difficult, Father, but you are always leading us, Lord. Father, I want to pray right now, Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. There is no way we can understand Scripture without you, Holy Spirit. You are the teacher. I pray that you'll open up our eyes and our ears and our understanding, Lord. That you'll give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation this morning, Father. Thank you that your word says that one may sow and the other may water, but it is God that brings increase. Lord, I want to pray for increase, Lord, in every life this morning. I want to pray for growth, Lord, in every life this morning, Father. That you'll make us grow, that you'll make us bear fruit, God, as Isaac said this morning. I pray, Lord, by your grace, that we will be able to be present, Father. I come in Jesus' name. Every mindset, everything that wants to run away with us in our minds, we just stop that now in Jesus' name. We are hungry to hear what you are saying this morning. In the name of Jesus, thank you that you say you set a table for us. In the midst of our enemies, even in the midst of crazy things happening around us, there you choose to set the table. And this morning, as you bring the food, as you open it up, even though it might look a bit different than what we wanted, maybe we wanted a cheeseburger, But you, in your wisdom, know to give us what we need at what moment in time. Because you don't see only now. You see in the future. You see the whole picture, Lord. So thank you that we can trust you in this, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. So excited that Gideon Lex is warm to begin. But I was so encouraged as we just let loose and we sang. I'm going to do English this morning. You are impressed. I'm really trusting the Lord. I'm growing in my faith. As we were singing those words, holy, holy is the Lord, it just came to mind. I heard it somewhere else. It was a guy talking and he said, the first name of the Holy Spirit is holy. And the Holy Spirit will start to work holiness in our lives when we draw near to God. And that pretty much sums up what I want to say. And so I'm going to start to share something that has been on my heart for the last couple of months. And not only been on my heart, something that I have experienced as well. And I'm still experiencing at this moment. And at first I wasn't quite sure what was happening. What was happening to me in this season. And I was a bit confused. And as the Lord started to color in the picture, especially at intercession, He started to bring clarity as words came out. I started to recognize that this is what I am going through currently now. And as I started to understand the process, it actually encouraged me. And I believe that there are some of you currently going through the same process, or some of you that will go through this process somewhere. And it's something that God has started here in our church as well, but He's doing it all around, and He's doing it at different times and different seasons. Sometimes the measure of it just differs a bit more, and there's many ways to illustrate this process that God does in our lives. But the key is understanding what He wants to do through this, and that is what I want to do this morning. I want to really trust God to bring us understanding in these things, in this process, so that we can respond accurately in times like this. And it's working. So what it is I'm experiencing, and I think some of you are experiencing, is that you are going, in plain words, just through a tough time or a difficult time. Or even when I say tough or difficult, it's a bit of an understatement. Paul says in Corinthians that we are hard-pressed from all sides. Now I see more nodding of heads. We are hard-pressed. And there are different things that can cause this pressing in our lives. I think the list will be endless, but it can be things like you maybe lost your job, or you struggling to find a job, or it's just at your job. The work is so much, the overload of the work is, it feels like it's unbearable. Maybe it's your coworkers just driving you mad, or your boss struggling with your boss. Maybe you are the boss. Then there's a lot of other pressures as well. Maybe it's financial difficulty. Maybe it's your car breaking down the whole time. Like in my case. And it feels like Pac-Man is busy there, working his way in. And or maybe it's a relational tension. Maybe it's there's tension in relationships. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your friendship. Or or maybe it's the person next to you. Don't raise your hand now. Maybe it's somebody that you lost, somebody dear to you. Maybe you're struggling with that. Maybe it's just a combination of these things. It's a lot of this, and the degree and the measure of it, it will differ, and the intensity of it will differ. But it just feels like you cannot keep your head above the water in this time. Now, this thing that Paul says, being hard-pressed, it literally means to be crowded in. It means that any way, any direction that you look, there's no opening. There's no exit sign hanging above a door. There's no way out. That is what you experience. It's like being crowded in. Especially the introverts. Raise your hands, please. Introverts. A lot of people around you. It's that same feeling for you. Extroverts, I don't know how to relate to you. So can somebody relate to this? Slight raise of hand. Okay. The raising of hand is to see that there is other people also going through the same process, and that will encourage you. That alone will encourage you, because the enemy always does this. He says, you're alone. It's only you. It's only nobody understands, only you. And that's one important thing of the family. There are a lot, but in this case, it's just looking around and saying, hey, there's other people as well. And I want to further encourage you that God is actually doing something. It's not just random while you're going through this process. And that when the Holy Spirit will start to break this open to us, it will cause us to have clarity in seasons like this, and it will cause us to become hopeful again if we have lost hope. All right. Because I think Isaac mentioned it, response, how we respond is very important in times like this. So when we start to feel heat like we are experiencing now, I spoke about pressing. The other angle or the other way is we can call it heat. Now the heat comes from fire. And when the scripture talks about fire, there's more meanings than one. And some of it is a fire of God that is a passion for God and a zeal for God and a hunger for God. But then there's also a fire. It talks about a very specific kind of fire. It's very specific. It's called the refiner's fire. And it's found in Malachi. And I will flight the scriptures for you. I've made a nifty slideshow. And it's not nifty, it's just a slideshow. But I've some of the words I've colored them in, and I've underlined them, made them bold, just for the teachers in the room, just to entertain you as well, and to bring focus. So there's a lot of translations. So I want to encourage you. Normally people encourage the congregation to bring their Bibles to church. I'll also do that, but I want to encourage you this morning to look on the screen because of the different translations. I've chosen certain translations just to highlight specific things. So just follow there as I go through the scripture. So in Malachi 3, it says, it's verse 2-3, for he, it's talking about God, is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. This morning, we have props at the back. It's not for my preaching, it's just there. But it is holiday, is it? Isn't it? So we're going to take it easy this morning, okay? We're going to take it slow. I'm going to read the scripture again. I really feel God wants to do something this morning or open something up for us, which normally will be a difficult message, not to preach, to receive. But when we gain understanding, there's much value in this. There's a lot of growth that God wants to bring through this understanding. And he wants to bring us to a point of being spiritually mature. So move a bit back in your seat. Take it easy. Don't put your foot on the seat, though, for the person in front of you's sake. All right. So, for he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Now, in biblical times, the way that they purified metals like gold or silver was with fire. And like most of you will know, especially the husbands, because you had to buy a ring at a certain stage, then you came to realize that there's different kinds of gold, like they are more pure and less pure, and they cost less and they cost more. If it's more pure, the value is more, so it will cost a bit more. So we come to realize that it's not only gold, there's different kinds of gold. And that is what this process is speaking about. It's the purification of gold or silver, because there is actually impurities in the gold or silver. Now, foreign substances like other metals inside the gold causes it to be of a lower value. But not only that, it actually has an influence on the character of the gold, the characteristics of the gold. It changes it. It makes it harder. It makes it less pliable. It's not as soft. And it actually has a bit of a different color as well. So there's various degrees of this purity. And the process for removing these other substances or other metals is by placing it into the fire. And as the fire reaches a certain temperature, the gold or the silver starts to melt. And as it melts, these impurities starts to come to the surface. It starts to rise to the surface. And then it can be removed by the refiner. And each time it is removed, the gold becomes more pure, or the silver becomes more pure. So when we go back to the scripture, it says, God will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. So exactly like this process happens with gold or silver, God will purify us. He talks about the sons of Levi, and that scripture, there's more than one meaning in that scripture, but I want to focus on the one I feel God is speaking to us about. And the sons of Levi was the tribe at that stage that God set apart, and that tribe, the Levites, were the ones that brought the offerings and the sacrifices. But as we go along in the New Testament, he says that we are a holy priesthood, we are a holy nation. We are the ones that God is talking about here. It's not somebody else, it's not another group. He's saying, I want to refine you and you and you. Like gold and silver is refined, I want to refine and purify you. So this has to do with holiness and has to do with purity. And as we sang that song this morning about holy, holy is God, he's holy. Because we are singing that because he's speaking to us. He's saying to us, I want to do a work of holiness and purification in you. Because God is very interested in our character. There's a lot of teaching about spiritual giftings, and it is awesome. It is so needed. There was a lack of that for a long time, and God started a move, and he just starts breaking that open again, and people are walking in the giftings, and it is very important. There's a great importance in that. But the other side is also the fruit of the Spirit, the godly character. And to be honest, I'm not hearing a lot of that recently. And the thing with giftings, as true, as important as they are, is they are free, like a gift. They are irrevocable. In other words, they are not taken back. But giftings is not a reflection of character. It's not a reflection of fruit. People can walk in giftings and have a bad character. And God is interested in our characters because He wants us to reflect Him where we go. It's easier to receive something. The fruit is cultivated. The fruit is grown. But it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we can work up. It's not something we can produce. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because the tree will be known by the gifts. By the fruit. By the fruit the tree is known. So when people will look to us, yes, there are times when God will meet people in crazy ways with the giftings. But when they look at our lives, what do they see when they look? That is important as well. So as we, the last few months probably, we talked about the kingdom. Eh? We can remember the kingdom. And Niels especially had a lot of sermons on the kingdom because God is breaking that open for us to understand how the kingdom functions. That it's different from the world. The way the kingdom operates is different. And we, as part of the kingdom, should have a different mindset than the world. We should, in our conduct, our behavior should be different than the world. He's starting to bring revelation about the kingdom that we can see where we should aim. In James 1 verse 27 says the same thing. Basically it says this. Or pure and undefiled religion is this. One. To care for orphans and widows. Or to visit them. The second one. Sometimes we forget. Is. To not let the world. Corrupt you. Or to be unstained or untainted or unspotted by the world. And if we are fair in our assessment, we are probably never fair. So the Holy Spirit helps us. He convicts us and shows us that we, in some places, some areas, there has been an influence of the world has corrupted us or stained us in a certain way. So with gold and silver, there is no way to remove these impurities that lessens the value of the gold, that has an influence on the character of the gold, but by fire. Because it's blended in, it's mixed in with the gold. When you look at the gold, although you can see a different color maybe, but you can't see the specific impurities in it. But as it is placed in the fire brings separation. It separates the pure from the impure. And that is the function of the fire. It is to separate. And that is the same with us. The fire, the heat in our lives, separates the impurities from the pure. It brings it to the surface. So when it comes, when it rises to the surface, it can be clearly seen for what it is. Because it's not mixed in anymore, any longer. So that impurities that comes up in the time of heat or in the time of pressing is also a list that can be endless. It's worldliness. It is even hidden sin. It is character flaws. It is wrong thinking, it's wrong motives. These things, they float to the surface in these times of heat, in the time of pressing. Now, with the gold and the silver, as that process was happening and they came to the surface, the refiner had a tool to remove the impurities. It's also called the dross, not the dross where you eat. It's bad dross. He removes that dross, the impurities. And that's the same, you know. The refiner in our case is God. He is the refiner. And as the impurities come up to the surface in times of heat, in times of pressure, it is seen by us, but by other people as well many times. But it's not to end there. It's not to just be seen. It is for the reason to be removed by Him. The gold and the silver cannot remove the impurities. It is the refiner who will remove the impurities. But as we see impurities rise in our lives, it is to say, God, this I see very clear now. It was maybe mixed before. There's obvious and less obvious things. But under great pressure, maybe something you thought you've dealt with in the past, now suddenly, under immense pressure and heat, oh, you see there's a bit of that still left. And then you say, God, thank you for the work that you've done, but I see this is still floating here on the surface, so it has been part of me. Come and remove that from my life. But as this process is happening, especially in the times of the heat, in times of fire, the impurities come to the surface. But as we look at that, there's one thing I want to point out as well. The enemy is also knowing, he's also looking and seeing what's happening in this process. So as the impurities comes up, he says to us, yo, do you see what's happening here? And that can easily move us to condemnation. And that's not God. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. Those who are in Christ, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Okay, so condemnation is not where this should end. I want to give you understanding in this so that when this happens, the reason we are seeing it is because it's there. Our response is to say, Lord, we see this is there. Remove this. There is a reason for the process. And at times, Jesus, he told the Pharisees, they were hypocrites. And he got angry at them. He called them, you whitewashed walls. You clean the cup on the outside, but you leave the inside dirty. Because they were pretending on the outside. They were pretending to be holy. They were pretending to be pure. But he saw straight through that. He saw their hearts and he said, there's greed in your heart. There's indulgence in your heart. You clean the outside. And God doesn't want to clean the outside. You want to start from the inside and change us from the inside out. And that's what the fire does. The fire, it goes into the very nature of that metal. It goes into the inside and it starts to melt and it starts to separate the impurities from the pure because it's interested in our character. That impurities changes the character of the gold. And he's interested in our character. So how does this fire look like in our lives? What is the fire that God uses in our lives? I believe there's more than one fire. For example, in Jeremiah, he talks about the word of God. He says the word of God is like a fire. So when we spend time in the word of God, we will start to feel the heat as well. Conviction will come. We say, oh, I responded like this. This is what the word of God says. Sure, Lord, I see this impurity. Take that away. So the word is a fire and it will refine us as well. But the one that I want to focus on this morning is the fire of trials and troubles and hardships and affliction and suffering. It's become very quiet in here. So sometimes when we read the scriptures, then we read these things of suffering and affliction and we just hop over that. Just climb over that one. It's not normally scriptures that we will meditate on or try and memorize. You're like, I want to forget this one. Oh, this is God bless him. And there was breakthrough and there was growth or whatever. But if we are honest in our assessment, if we look at scripture, it's all around. It's in the New Testament, in every book pretty much. There was times of suffering, there was times of trials and troubles. And I just want to reference a scripture just to ease you into this. Just to something that's rebelling and saying, no, I don't accept this. I'll give you a scripture to counter that feeling right now. You say, get in line with the Word of God. It says, 1 Peter 4, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Be at ease, soul. Don't be surprised at the connection between fiery and trial there, as if something strange is happening. What's happening to me now? So Peter is writing here, and he's almost writing it in the way as to say, you should expect this to happen. It's not something strange. I think maybe because he wrote it, maybe somebody said, what's happening here? And he said, this is not something strange. Don't find it strange. You should expect this. And then Jesus also said it. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. Yo. Nobody wants to hear that. In this world, you will have trouble. There will be times of trouble. There will be times of pain. There will be times of suffering. There will be times in your life when you are lonely and rejected. We've been hurt. They will come. When I heard this the first time, I was uneasy. It was like heading into a storm with your boat, but it's a paddle ski. I'm not ready for this, God. But I believe, like I said, it feels like it's hard to hear. Something said, I told you not to be here this morning. Now you came, and now this. But if we only look at certain things in the scripture, we will become lopsided and we will become deceived. This is part of what God wants to teach us and wants to show us. I believe really that there is great growth in times like this. Immense growth, fruitfulness. Character growth, maturity. God wants us to be mature. Paul writes somewhere, I can't know, I think it's Philippians or maybe it's more than one place. He says, but he earnestly is praying for them that they should become mature in Christ. He didn't stop there at salvation. That's not the end. It's only the beginning. We have to go through these processes because maturity is important. And Paul, he knew that and he was praying for them that they will become mature in Christ. Or maybe it was somebody else, but it's in the Bible. Like Jan said, I'm going to quote it like Jesus. Last dag geskrywe. There's written somewhere. Nowhere. So like the fire has a very specific function with the silver and the gold. The fire in our lives, which is the trials and tribulations, is very specific in its cause. Say to the guy next to you, turn to him, Peter, you turn to me. Say, the fire has a purpose. The fire has a purpose. We're talking about this because I believe some of us, we're experiencing that fire. We're experiencing the pressing as some of you shook your head and raised your hands. And in times of the heat, in times of the pressing, we see the impurities coming to the surface. We see the impatience. We see the worldliness. We see the wrong motives. We see the lack of love. And the selfishness. We see it for what it is. Why do we see it? Because it is there. The fire exposes. It shows what is in the metal. So what was mixed becomes separated. That's important. Something I want to highlight. I showed it there. The fire separates. Separation is important for this to be removed. So, as we said, it's a work of holiness and purity. In 1 Peter 4, it goes on, and it says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same way of thinking. This is the one of those you climb over. Arm yourself with the same way of thinking. No. Whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. No, just read on there. So we skip those things, eh? Whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. I'm not going to try to pack this out. It's quite obvious. Purifying effect of the fire. It is to do with holiness. Suffering in the flesh, ceasing from sin. Not exactly understand everything of this. But we sang about the ways of God that is perfect. And we have to trust Him that His ways are perfect. And what He is working is perfect and is good for us. That's why we sang a song. I was praying, Lord, that we will just know that You are good. And we sang about God's good. He's a good, good Father. And went over to holiness. And sometimes in our head, it's like, it's love and holiness. Oh, it's like oil and water. They don't mix. God's not a pie chart. He's not 50% this and 10% that. And we can't understand, but there is fullness. Fullness. He's this and that. At the same moment, He can be love and holiness. It doesn't change. It's just difficult for us sometimes to comprehend that. So, we've talked about the fire bringing the impurities to the surface and so that it can be removed. But that's not the only reason for the fire. There's more functions of the fire. And I'm gonna talk about that for the next few minutes. So we're going to have a look in Romans 5, verse 3 to 4. And I'm having fun with this. Are you having fun? Doesn't look like it. Tell your face you're having fun. And in Romans, Paul is writing to the Romans and he starts off at verse 3. And he says, but let us rejoice in our... Now, just a moment there. If I read this, if this was written to me, I'm reading, but let us rejoice... in our so rejoice means joy. I'm raising my expectation now, eh? In our yes, what is I'm receiving something, it's a gift coming my way, maybe a breakthrough. And what's the next part? Ooh. So there was a drum roll, and then there's a boo boo boo. Sufferings and hardship. What? This doesn't go together, but let us rejoice in our sufferings and hardship. Yo, that is expectation management when you're reading that. It's like when you drive on a road and there's a lot of potholes, they put up a sign and say, beware, it's potholes. Somebody should put the sign there. Say, lower expectation when you read verse 3. Just lower it because it's different than what you thought it will be. But Paul, he was a man, he was somebody who knew suffering. He was talking with some experience on his side. He, in 2 Corinthians 11, he mentions some of it. He says that he was persecuted, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was sleeplessness, he was went hungry, he was naked. There was a lot of things. It was danger in perils many times. So he was a guy who knew about suffering, who experienced trials and tribulations, and he's the guy writing. It's not a rookie that doesn't know what he's talking about. So why is he writing, rejoice in this? Because maybe Paul is knowing something that they do not know yet. That there is a reason, there is a purpose for this. It achieves something in our lives. It is not in vain. That is important. So let's read the whole scripture. But let us rejoice in our sufferings and hardships, knowing that hardship, which is distress, pressure, trouble, produces patient endurance. And endurance, proven character, which is spiritual maturity, and proven character, hope. and confident assurance of our eternal salvation. So, but let us rejoice in our sufferings and hardships, knowing that hardship produces. Knowing that hardship produces. The rejoicing comes from a place where we start to know that hardship produces something. It's like a fabric. It does something. It produces something. And in this case, it starts with endurance. It starts working endurance in our lives. And it goes over to our character, which has to do with our spiritual maturity. And then it goes to a hope in our eternal salvation. So this is why we can rejoice when we know that hardship produces. This is another effect of the fire. And Paul wasn't the only one saying this. When I read James 1 verse 2 to 4, it's almost the replica of what Paul just said here. He says in verse 2, consider it pure joy. Not just joy, he thought maybe I just put in pure as well. Or all joy. My brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. No, joy, trials, another verse. Can't just throw that one out. There's another one. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Almost the same as endurance. And perseverance, finish its work that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When can we have joy? Because you know that hardships produces something. It's not in vain. It is specific. Let me tell you this. God isn't random. He's very strategic. He's very specific. And he doesn't miss. His timing is always spot on. Even if it feels like it's the most wrong time now ever, he is very, very good at getting his timing right. So, 1 Peter 1, I'm going to read from verse 3 just to build it up a bit. And we're going to focus on verse 6 and 7. This is the second last scripture, so we're getting there. I want to encourage you, don't miss as we pull it together. So it reads from verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now verse 6 says, in this you rejoice. Now in this you rejoice, he's referring to what I just said. Being born again, having an inheritance that's kept for us in heaven, and with His power keeping us for that inheritance, in this you rejoice. Though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. You see, there's rejoicing and grieving in the same at the same moment. We can rejoice and grieve at the same moment. We can rejoice because what God has done for us in being born again and what He will do, showing, pointing to our future for the hope, the inheritance that we have that's been kept in heaven. But we've been grieved by trials, various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire. Once again, it's referring to that. That the tested genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ. There is a refining of our faith as well. There's a testing of faith as well. And I wanna tell you from my side, my experience, that when faith is being tested, it feels like you are losing your faith. It feels like you cannot hold on any longer. It feels like you're hanging on your finger, on your fingerpinter, just hanging on barely. I don't know if you remember who was here that morning. There came a word that says, Satan has asked for you to sift you like wheat. But I, Jesus, have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Jesus didn't tell Peter at that stage, no, I will keep you from this being sifted. He said, no, that I'll allow that, but your faith will not fail. Your faith will, why did he say that? Because in times like that, it feels like your faith will fail. But times of sifting is actually good, because also it's a separation. This is what I said in the beginning, that there's more way than one to describe the process that God is doing in us. The other way is sifting. He's separating the good from the bad, basically. That's what's happening in this time. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 to 9. Tell the guy next to you, ask him, are you awake? Say, it sounds bad, but it's good. It's rejoicing and grieving. Okay, I'm just having fun with you. 2 Corinthians 1, 8, verse 9. This scripture is jam-packed, so just let's go through it. Paul writing, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despised of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Beautiful scripture. Paul tells him, don't be uninformed. I want to inform you. I want to tell you. It's basically what I say. I want to tell you what happened to us. Make sure you understand what happened to us. We went through troubling times in Asia. We went through a great pressure, a great pressing time. And we were burdened or pressed beyond our ability to endure. It even felt like we were gonna die. That is how intense that trials and troubles were for them at that stage. Then he says, but this happened. But this happened means there's purpose. There's a purpose. There's a reason for it happening. Why did it happen? That we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Even though they should die, he will raise them. So the fire, the trials, one of the other functions is shifting our faith, shifting where we rely on, what we trust from ourselves to God. It brings us to points sometimes where we are not able to cope anymore. We thought we will be able to just survive this on our own, or maybe seek a outcomes on our own steam. But then we realize we cannot. We need God in this. And that's the point. That's the breaking point. And shifting our trusting and relying from ourselves to God. And that is tough. Moments like that is tough. This is serious stuff. I'm trying to make it lighter, but it is really serious. I know some of the trials and troubles, I know I can't understand them. But not all of them, I maybe just want to throw it in here, not all of the trials and tribulations and sufferings is from God. We need to tell that. But there, it says that if it is necessary, some of them he will allow for the function of the fire. He will allow if necessary, if it happened for a reason, if there is purpose behind it. Okay, so we'll trust God in the moments, in the seasons, to to discern what is happening. The same was with Jesus. He said that he endured the cross because of the joy set before him. Okay, so I want to encourage you in the situations that you find yourself now or will find in the future, and you're discerning. Like I said, God started to color in the picture. At first, when I feel trouble or I feel resistance, I rebuke. I say, "Duivel, gaan in Jesus' naam." En ek sal vaai goed en jy gaan aan. Maar, and sometimes it's very important, and sometimes he will go. But at times God will start to nudge us in the right direction. He will start to whisper through the Holy Spirit in which way he decides. If it's scripture, if it's something else, he'll start to tell you, "I want to do something here. I'm doing something. There's purpose. But this happened, or this is happening, because I'm doing something in you. This is achieving something for you." So in the knowing, we can rejoice. Knowing that this has a purpose. It produces things in our lives. Knowing this will bring us to maturity. This will bring us to a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. Knowing this is the joy that is set before us. This helps us to endure. This helps us to press through the process. God, he has time. Amen? God has time on his hands. He will take you through that process again. If you climb out, he will take you through it again. He has time. So what came out as we worshiped was, how do we respond in times like that? I think that was Saki's opening line, pretty much. Saki for you, Swari for me. How do we respond in times like that? So, kan jy nog speel op daai ding? Okay, so we're going to land. And I want you to stand with me, please. Like I've said, some of you are really going through a tough time. It's really difficult. It's really pressing. It's really feeling like you're struggling to keep your head above the water, that you are crowded in and you don't see a way out. You don't see an exit. It feels like you cannot endure. It feels like you cannot go on any longer. And it feels like your faith is failing. So this is serious. And but God, he is in control. He is the refiner. The refiner is the one that is in control. He can start and he can stop when he sees fit to do that. But how do we respond in times of trouble, in times of suffering, in times of affliction, in times of hardship? How do we respond in those times? Do we get angry at God? Do we start to doubt the goodness of God and say, "God, why are you doing this?" Do we start to doubt the love that it has for us? "God, do you still love me? God, do you still care for me? Why am I experiencing things like this right now?" Do we get offended at God, maybe? Do we turn our back on God? Or do we run to God? I want to take you back to the scripture that we started out with. And I want to show you something beautiful in the scripture. Is the slideshow still working? "For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller soap. He will sit as a refiner. He will sit as a refiner. He will not stand as a refiner. He will sit as a refiner." It talks about the posture of God. It puts it in there because it's important. The refiner sits and He watches. He doesn't stand up to go away and come back again. He watches the process. He keeps His eye on the process. He keeps His eye on the gold. He keeps His eye on the silver. And He's watching. I believe God is not enjoying suffering in our lives. But He knows that it achieves, if He sees it fit, if it is necessary, it achieves things in our life that the fire can only achieve. I tell you now that there is things that only the fire can achieve in your life. It is there for a reason. It is the refiner's fire. It is not an incinerator. It is not a felt fire. It is not a destructive fire. It is a refiner's fire. It is specific. It is to refine. And the refiner sits. He's with us in those times. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. Because He is in control of those processes. Even though you think or feel like God is leaving you, it's not true. The refiner sits. The refiner's there. He's watching. He's waiting. He's also the one removing those things. Why? Because He wants us to be like Him. He loves us too much to leave us like we are. He wants to change us. The Holy Spirit is also known. That's also a fire. The Holy Spirit will come as the Holy Spirit and He will make you holy. He says, the scripture reads, it says that the Holy Spirit will come and He will change us. He will transform us into the image of His Son, into the image of Jesus. So I want to pray for us this morning. Because as we read through these scriptures, we might get scared for the fire, of the fire. But the end result is purification. The end result is holiness. And you know what the scripture says? Blessed is the pure at heart. They will see Christ. It's talking about the presence of God. It says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. Father, I pray right now that You'll give us even the desire to become holy, Lord. Like You are holy, Lord. That You'll work purity in our lives, Lord. Thank You that You are the refiner. But thank You that You sit and You watch us, God. Thank You that You are with us in these times, Lord. That is difficult. That is troubling, Lord. But You say, if it is necessary, Lord. It has a very specific purpose, Lord. Thank You, Lord. It's not in vain, Father. Even though we do not understand what is happening, Lord. Thank You that we can run to You. Thank You, Lord, that You give us peace, God, that surpasses understanding, God. That even in times of in the fire, we can have peace, Lord. Because it's not related to what we are experiencing, God. We have another source. It's from You. Father, even for the people that's feeling they cannot endure this. They cannot. If I have to face this one more day, I will not make it. If that's you, raise your hand. If that is you, raise your hand. I want you to come to the front, please. If it feels like you cannot endure any longer, if it feels like your faith is failing, it feels like, man, I cannot hang on. I cannot hang on. If your faith is failing almost, I want you to come to the front. We're going to pray for you that God will give you endurance. That because of Him, because of His grace, He will be the one pulling you through this in times of refinement. So keep your eyes closed as we just focus on God. Say, Lord, thank You. Thank You for moments. Thank You for times like this, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that even though sometimes we do not understand the process, or thank you that you are good. Always good, Lord. That you're always good. And that you love us, Lord. And that your actions, your motive is love, God. That is what drives you in times of being in the fire.